Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. We need your help. Share what we do here on your digital platforms. Well, we have a special guest for the first part of the show today. It's Clay Clark, and if you tune in to our TV show at thecommonsenseshow.tv, you've heard Clay numerous times. And we arranged to get him here on our three radio networks broadcast, as well as our podcast. And if you've not heard Clay before, I think you're in for an interesting experience. Clay, welcome to the show. Glad you could join us.
Hey, thank you so much for allowing me to be here with you today. And hopefully we can provide some clarity for your listeners about what is going on.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And I know we're going to cover the Trump indictment and a little bit of an update on CBDC. So I'm just going to throw it over to you and say, take it where you will.
Well, on the Trump indictment, I did an interview today with somebody who I think a lot of your listeners will respect a lot, a man by the name of Matt Whitaker,
yes.
The former U.S. Attorney General, Matt Whitaker.
Yes.
And he hopped on my show today and underscored really five key points that I think everybody should know today as it relates to the Trump indictment. So point number one, let's talk about the people that are at the center of this attack on President Donald J. Trump. So character number one, Michael Cohen. Who is Michael Cohen? And is Michael Cohen a credible person?
No.
It's a rhetorical question I would ask the listeners out there, but Michael Cohen, I encourage everyone to look him up.
Yeah, I agree. He is not credible in any way, shape, or form. He's already perjured himself because of the stuff he put into writing and what he told his own attorney.
You're 100% correct. Now, the second character we need to know, and I encourage you to not look her up, is Stormy Daniels. Now, Stormy Daniels is also at the center of this, we'll call it a storm or attack on President Donald J. Trump. And I think we all need to look, or at least know who she is and ask the question, is she credible? Now, the third character we need to know is Michael Avenatti. Michael Avenatti. Look him up, folks. A-V-E-N-A-T-T-I. Michael Avenatti. Who is Michael Avenatti? Is he credible? What is going on? Now, big idea number four is, how many charges will Trump be charged with? And what's going to happen? You know, is he going to be fingerprinted? Will he have a mugshot? Will he be in handcuffs? What does that look like? We don't know. There's not been a precedent for this because President Trump does have the Secret Service that will be with him wherever he goes. But it looks as though President Trump will be charged with 34 counts is what they're looking at. It could be higher than that, but 34 counts. And again, Dave, that's a large number, and I think people just need to be very aware of how they are really trying to throw the book at President Donald J. Trump and make an example out of him for political reasons.
Yeah, this is airing a day before the indictment's going to be arraigned, or the day after, I should say. But here's what I heard today, Clay. I heard that a judge is going to put a gag order on him, and he can't talk about the corrupt legal system in any form or fashion, which is election interference.
That's what you've heard today.
Yes, I did. I heard that's coming.
I wouldn't doubt it. Now, can you kind of explain, I'd love to get your take on as to why, just for people out there that are new to this case, why do you think that the opposition, the people coming after President Trump, want him to have a gag order at this point?
So he can't campaign. If you look at the top three issues on everyone American's plate, crime and a two-tier justice system that's unfair and a weaponized DOJ and FBI, they're on people's wheelhouse, and they're going to keep Trump from talking about this for as long as they can.
Very, very interesting. Now, the final point I want to clarify about this Trump indictment is the Manhattan District Attorney who's bringing forth this case is Alvin Bragg. Now, Alvin Bragg, you say, who's Alvin Bragg? Well, Alvin Bragg is a Manhattan District Attorney that has decided to downgrade 52% of the felonies in the crime-ridden New York to a misdemeanor status over the past year. 52% of these A lot of oftentimes violent crimes that are taking place in New York and making New York almost unlivable. Alvin Bragg has decided to downgrade those felonies 52% of the time and to make those misdemeanors. And Alvin Bragg and many of those coming after President Trump right now have essentially campaigned on the idea of taking out President Donald J. Trump. Mm-hmm. So wouldn't it make a lot of sense that that's what they would be doing right now? So that's where we find ourselves today as it relates to this Trump indictment.
Well, you know, to me, and I've looked at this too, they don't have a felony, but they had to bootstrap two laws together, which made no sense. And even if they went for the misdemeanor, the statute of limitations is expired.
Correct. Now, I want to switch gears for a little bit, if I can. I want to focus on the central bank digital currencies, mm-hmm. Central bank digital currencies. I encourage everyone to look up a woman by the name of Lael Brainard. She's the vice chair for the Federal Reserve Board, and she's a career economist and a Federal Reserve governor who has been vocal about financial inclusion and the risks of climate change. Well, she announced during one of her video broadcasts there, and this took place on August 29th of 2022, that the CBDCs would be implemented in America beginning May of 2023.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So here we are. And we're talking about, she says, between May and July, they should see the implementation of what's called FedNow or the CBDCs. Now, guess what happens in August? It looks as though in August, during the month of August, it looks as though BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, they'll be rolling out their new reserve currency. That's Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. So you can kind of see the coordinated effort that has gone into de-dollarizing the world.
Mm-hmm. Well, these nations are running from the petrodollar, which is our only backing for a currency that's $32 trillion in debt.
Correct. And so that's where we find ourselves today. We find ourselves in a spot today where many Americans are just waking up to the fact that Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, they're all teaming up together to de-dollarize the world. These countries have been buying copious amounts of gold. They've been Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. They're buying massive amounts of gold in preparation for the introduction of a central bank digital currency that's gold-backed central bank digital currency. So you can see what they're doing now. And now we have Iran, Venezuela, Saudi Arabia, many other countries, Argentina, Egypt, Turkey. They're all looking to officially join BRICS. So it's a concerted effort in concert to remove the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency. That's what's going on right now.
Yeah, that's it will take a second here. We've covered this on our TV side, but tell the audience your main concerns about CBDC rolling into the American economy.
Well, one is that the central bank digital currencies are programmable central bank digital currencies. There's a programmable currencies that you can turn on or off in the way you can turn on or off somebody's social media account, as we've seen with censorship. So could you imagine what it would be like to want to take your wife on a date and you're an apolitical person, you're listening to this show, you're taking your wife on a date, maybe you're picking up your kids from school, and all of a sudden you go to get gas to refill your minivan, and your payment doesn't go through. You're not allowed to buy gas. And you check and you're going, wow, I should have $30,000 in that account or $80,000 or $2,000. I don't understand why I can't buy this $40 of gas. Well, it's because you have exceeded your carbon allowance and therefore you're unable to buy or sell at the whims of whoever's setting this carbon allowance criteria. That's what's going on. This is a social credit scoring system. It's changing the very definition of what money means so that money can be used as a weapon, so that money can be turned on or off. So that money is not related to how hard you work or how much value you offer, but based upon your adherence to a communist agenda.
That's very disturbing. And I look at this, CBDC will enforce the tenets of ESG too, won't it, with regard to social status, status, what you read on the internet, or expressed views. Do you believe that we could be Justin Trudeau'd and have our bank account stolen from us with under CBDC if we say and do things the government doesn't like?
Yeah, and I would just say this today to answer your question. I think it's important for people to do their research on this. If you go to your computer today, folks, and you do a search for Fed programmable money, Fed programmable money, that's the Google search term, Fed programmable money. And on the Fed, on the Federal Reserve website, they explain the programmable money. So that's something we should all look up right now. Now, the next item you'll want to look up here, folks, is this executive order. This was absolutely terrifying, but I encourage everyone to look it up. Look up executive order on ensuring responsible development of digital assets. Executive order on ensuring responsible development of digital assets. And when you read this legislation, I mean, it is mind-boggling, this legislation, this executive order. When you read it, and you recognize the profundity of the powers, the unlimited powers that this would give those who want to control us, it's truly terrifying where we're at right now in American culture.
Can you give us an example that people will find?
Yeah, well, okay. So if you go on the Federal Reserve website and you read about this money, this programmable money, your money can expire. You know, so like, you know, let's say that years ago for Christmas, somebody gave you a Friday's gift card or a gift card to Foot Locker, or we've all gotten a gift card to, you know, a gift card to a restaurant, you know, for Christmas. And, you know, you're cleaning out your wallet and you go, oh, man, I didn't even use that thing. And so you go to the restaurant and you say, hey, I want to see how much money's on this gift card. And the restaurant says, oh, there's no money on the gift card right now because your gift card expired. Could you imagine what that would be like if your money could expire?
Is that to prevent the generational transmission of wealth and to be a good saver and accumulate wealth in your lifetime?
It would be the ultimate form of behavioral control. In China, they do this. So in China, let's just say that they want to speed up the economy, right? And they want to make the economy boom. They could say, hey, everyone's money is going to expire by this period of time, and if you don't spend it, you lose it. So all of a sudden, people are buying, buying, buying. Now, if they want to make the economy contract, and they say, hey, we want to make – they can weaponize that. So you imagine if the great people of Oklahoma decide they're not going to comply with lockdowns, quarantines, curfews, whatever, they just turn their money off. They say, in Oklahoma, you can't buy money. You can't buy anything this month.
Is there any way around it? Do you think gold, some kind of alternative currency, is there a way around this imposition?
I feel as though gold and silver is the most likely solution at this point. What do I mean by that? I mean, gold and silver is a tested a form of currency. It's been around for you know, thousands of years. And what's going to happen is that the Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, the BRICS countries, they are now buying up copious amounts of gold because the central bank digital currency that they will introduce is gold-backed. So I would say the most viable strategy right now would be to take your soon-to-be useless fiat dollars and to buy gold and silver, precious metals. That's what I would recommend to do.
It's funny you'd say that. I'm doing that tomorrow by appointment. You know, I represent Noble Gold, and I do business with them, too, and that's on my agenda for tomorrow. Gold, silver, palladium, and platinum. And those are all the darling minerals of the New Green Deal cult for their technology. So I may as well profit on it while I can. But you're right. But yeah, there's problems, I think, with portability of those currencies, though. I mean, you're going to have to purchase coins silver coins, gold coins. And I think trading and bartering is going to be big. Do you think we'll see laws against food hoarding and trading and bartering?
You know what? I don't know that. You know, one of the things that I'm really good at, and I appreciate you letting me help on your show to share these things, is I feel like I'm a really good fact guy.
Yes.
But then when it comes to maybe the opinion side of things, I'm a little more gun-shy on sharing my opinion because I think we all have an opinion. And, you know, I would hate to be the guy that gives you a wrong opinion. But I can tell you factually that Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, they're all teaming up to de-dollarize the Earth's currency. And I can tell you factually that the Fed Now program is turned on, will be turned on here during the month of April. And that'll be rolled out between the it'll be rolled out during the month of May, and it'll be rolled out between May and August. I can tell you that the BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, they're all teaming up to introduce a new reserve currency. I can tell you that Iran, Saudi Arabia, Venezuela, Egypt, Argentina, and other countries are joining BRICS. So I can tell you what they have planned for us is not a good thing. And I can tell you that BRICS should be announcing the expansion of BRICS here in August of 2023 at their annual BRICS summit, where they should be announcing officially that Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Turkey, and other countries will be joining the BRICS nations.
Yeah, disturbingly, Mexico is doing that too, and that since they're such a huge trading partner, that's of concern. But you know, here's where my mind goes on this too, and I don't think this is speculation. If you de-dollarize the planet and wreck our economy with a currency collapse, I don't see how we can maintain a military to fight a two-front war against China and Russia.
Yeah, and then that's when you're going to roll out your new book called How to Speak Chinese in a Quarantine Camp, right? Isn't that when your new book's coming out? I mean, that's kind of where we're at, right? I mean, that's going to be popping on your show, telling people, hey, guys, here are great tips on how to speak Chinese in a quarantine camp. Here's, you know, I mean, that's kind of where our country's headed if we don't stop this.
How do we stop it?
One is I just know that the people that I talk to on the, and I'm not saying this to name drop, but I'm just saying on the Reawaken America tour, you've got wonderful people like Mike Lindell, Kevin Sorbo, Cash Patel, Laura Trump, Devin Nunes, Peter Navarro. These are all people. If you go to timetofreeamerica.com and you want to attend one of our Reawaken America tour events, we have the next one in Miami and Florida. These people are boldly speaking out the truth to everybody. And I think they're setting a great example of what you need to be doing. So everybody out there listening today, you've got to contact your local elected officials and let them know you cannot allow central bank digital currencies in your state, because if that happens, it's over.
Yeah, well, Kristi Noem came out and she vetoed a bill that would have done a lot of what you're saying. And but she also issued a warning. She said in many states, CBDC is coming in as part of a larger omnibus bill. Do you agree with her assessment?
That CBDCs will be introduced regardless of her veto?
Well, in other states. She's saying that CBDC is not being decided in state legislators as a standalone issue. They're camouflaging it inside other bills.
I would not doubt it. I mean, for people that don't understand omnibus bills and how they work, the idea is, you know, if I am working, I try to make it a small idea, but imagine I was working in your small business as a small idea, and I said, hey, boss, can I get a budget increase of $1,000 a month because I want to buy more printing supplies? And you say, sure, Clay, you can do that. And I say, well, just sign here. And so I sign there to approve the $1,000 a month increase, and uh-oh, shocker, there's also on that same thing I signed an agreement to add $10,000 of extra catering expenses and $5,000 of extra entertainment, because all of it's put together as part of an omnibus package. So in most legislatures, most people that are in office, I don't want to discourage people, but I want to give you facts. Most of the people that I've met who are elected officials from the great state of Oklahoma and Texas are systemically, almost without fail, the dumbest and most shallow people I've ever met who refuse to read documents before signing them. So they have lobbyists, and the lobbyists say, oh, yeah, you should sign this. It's awesome. It's going to help fight back and help stop TikTok, you know? And then these people go, oh, yeah, this is, what are you saying? They go, boss, you got to sign this because it's going to stop TikTok, you know? And then the elected official, without reading it, signs something, you know, they've increased the level of restrictions on free speech. It's like the Patriot Act. It wasn't patriotic at all. Or it's like the Federal Reserve. It isn't federal, and there is no reserve. It's like the Obama Health Care Act. You know, it's a thing where the devil's in the details, and they intentionally put it in a massive 100-page document. They know these legislators won't read, and they introduce an emotional argument that is time-sensitive, and they say, if you don't sign this document by tomorrow, it's the end of the world. And so the legislator who hasn't read it signs it because he feels pressured to, and that's what happens over and over and over.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about the Reawaken American Tour. And by the way, you and I will be seeing each other in person in August. I'm coming, and I'll be occupying a media booth and doing a lot of interviews with your guests up in Las Vegas. I can't wait to do that. And my staff is excited too, but talk about Reawaken American Tours. I've been to them. I participated. They're awesome. And for people who don't know, tell me what they'll get and how they can go find out more information.
Well, if you want to learn more about the Reawaken American Tour, what you'll want to do is go to timetofreeamerica.com, timetofreeamerica.com. And as of right now, we've got about 400 tickets remaining for the Reawaken American Tour, Trump Doral. And you just go up there to timetofreeamerica.com and you request a ticket. And when you do request a ticket, a member of my great team, they're going to call you and they're going to find out a price point that works best for you. We do allow you to name your price, so we make it affordable for everybody. And to my knowledge, Dave, and you've been to a lot of Republican events, it's the only event I've ever seen with big names where you can name your price. I've never seen something like it. Probably won't see something like it in the future because it's a great way to lose a lot of money quickly. So I encourage people to get those tickets today at timetofreeamerica.com. timetofreeamerica.com.
Clay, what's really interesting about that, you're right. Not only do people get to name their price, but you have the best guess of anybody out there. And I'm not besmirching anybody else. There's a lot of people doing good work. But consistently, I look at your lineups and I go, man, this is awesome. So you're going to get leaders in the resistance that are trying to stand up to this. But we don't have much time to resist. Do you think there's any... This is really an important question. I know you probably know about the Restrict Act and how it's a fake TikTok ban, and it's designed to basically silence media opposition to what they're doing. Do you think they could get this Restrict Act in prior to the rollout of the CBDCs?
I do. I do think it's possible. Will it happen? I don't know. And again, you know, what I do, Dave, I'm not saying this is a pro tip for how people should live their life, but what I do, I wake up every morning at 3 a.m., and I look at the reality of what's going on. So what do I do specifically? I look at Yuval Noah Harari, the top advisor for Klaus Schwab.
Yes.
I look at Klaus Schwab. I look at Xi of China. I look at Putin of Russia. Now, I don't read the headlines of what other people are saying. I read what they're saying. You see, I listen to what Klaus Schwab's actually saying, what Yuval Noah Harari's actually saying. I take the time to read this legislation myself, and what I'm finding is that if we can get past the headlines and actually read to them all the way down to the bottom line, you'll find their nefarious Great Reset plan is very much out in the open.
Yeah, they just came out with a Great Reset for Water plan from the UN, demanding that Western nations sign on immediately, which will prevent irrigation, reuse of water, trapping rainwater. I mean, this whole nonsense we saw in the Agenda 21 documents, and that was on Breitbart. I want to say it was either yesterday or the day before, and they cited the UN position on this. I mean, they're going for broke right now. Final question here before we let you go. Why is there such an urgency on the part of the globalists to take America down? Why do they seem to be in such a rush, so much so that they're making mistakes?
Okay, well, there's the Trilateral Commission, and the Trilateral Commission came out. This is a David Rockefeller founded organization. They came out and stated that we are on year one. 2023 is year one of their 7-year plan, okay? So for anybody out there that doesn't understand this, they have a 7-year plan. We're on year one of that. Klaus Schwab came out and said that, hey, by the way, we did introduce the Club of Rome report. Now, the Club of Rome report is the report that calls for the dividing of the earth into 10 financial sectors or regions. And so these people are on a timeline. They're on a timeline, okay? And they want to start what I would call 7 years of tribulation, or their 7-year plan up to 2030, because 2030 is the ultimate goal to have the Great Reset completely implemented. So we are right now on year one of seven. I call it the 7 years of tribulation. Someone else can call it what they want to call it, but that's what they're doing. They're escalating into 2030.
Well, you're in good company, Clay, because I've got a lot of religious friends, and I'm one of them, but a lot of them think that we are entering the tribulation, and they cite the same dates you just did. That's really interesting.
Yeah, so I read the Bible, and I try not to listen to pastors, so that's kind of my pro tip out there.
I hear you.
If you go to church and you have a pastor that's talking, I mean it sincerely, bring the Bible with you and read it yourself and see if what they're saying is actually in the Bible. So even if you have a great pastor, try to read the scripture yourself, because when you read the scripture yourself, you can quickly determine whether what's being said is accurate or not.
Exactly. Hey, one more time for the audience. Tell them how they can find your website so they can plan to attend one of your conferences.
Yeah, go to timetofreeamerica.com. timetofreeamerica.com. That's the website. That's where to go.
Clay, I know you're a humble guy, but I want to say this from my heart. I, and I'm sure my audience feels the same way, we are honored when you come on this show, because we know you speak truth to power.
Well, I appreciate you very much, and I'll keep dropping back. Folks, if you learn more about TDC, go to timetofreeamerica.com. That's timetofreeamerica.com.
Thanks for joining us, Clay.
Thank you.
Take care. Hey, we want to thank Clay Clark for being with us here. That was pretty good, our discussion about CBDC, the Restrict Act, and of course his feelings about the indictment, which I think are going to absolutely help Trump, although I do expect a conviction at the lower court. And this will screw up his campaigning to some degree, but we'll get into that here in a minute. I've invited Doug Thornton on, the other half of the Doug and Dave Intel Report, and I wanted to go through and we get our reactions to these three issues that Clay talked about. But first, you know, we got to take care of some business we didn't take care of in the first part of the show. And I'm just going to say this right now, very clearly, the move is being made on your food, and it's across multiple fronts, and it's been going on for a long time. You know, inch by inch, it's a cinch, the old frog in the boiling pot. And pretty soon, the food you'll have is what you have in your home. That's all you're going to be able to get. So you better stock up early and often. And often means you may only have another month, 2 months at most. And why am I putting a time frame on it? Because it gets into the topic of what Doug and I are going to talk about. And the time frame is revealed by Clay Clark. So go to foodwithdave.com. You'll get 25-year shelf life, 2,000 calories, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So you get lots of variety. Do it now and get as much as you can get. And also, too, Doug and I have talked repeatedly about Grid Down. And as we inch closer towards this contrived war, you can expect to have a Grid Down. And so where will you get your water? You can scavenge it, but can you really drink it? Well, if you have the Alexa Pure Pro water filter, you won't have to worry about it, because this filters out just about all contaminants. We publish the research at waterwithdave.com. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a product, too, that's not raised its prices. It's a product that is the best in the business, and it will run out because the manufacturer limits production because they don't want to overproduce to save cost. So you have a limited shelf life on this. Go to waterwithdave.com and get your Alexa Pure Pro water filter, as well as foodwithdave.com to get the food. And I'm just going to say this very, very briefly. You're going to hear an ad for Noble Gold in this segment. Listen to me. If CBDC comes and you do not have alternatives, you're dead in the water. You're done. So go to DaveHodgesGold.com. Well, Doug, let me just briefly sum up here what Clay covered. He covered CBDC, and he said it's going to be here between May and July, and his data was pretty good. He went on to talk about the Restrict Act. We both did. And it's a way to silence the opposition and throw people like you and me off the air and in prison for 20 years. And we talked a little bit about the indictment. So let's start with CBDC. Okay, what's your reaction to what I said with regard to Clay's admonition? Hello, Doug? Hello, Doug?
Hey, that's my bad.
Okay.
According to the experts, we're between 90 days and 3 days from having a complete banking collapse. Now, where I see this being a problem is that the projection is, 3 months deep. So anything can happen within those 3 months. I think Clay is accurate. I think it's something to worry about. You know, I have people who email me all the time. Doug, how are you investing? How do we invest during these times? What's the best way to diversify all of your funds? You know, how much cash should you have on hand? Are precious metals really worth it? Should I be ready for a bartering system? And this is what I've told people, and me and Bob Griswold kind of agree on this. It's best to be prepared for a little bit of everything, right? It's not a bad idea to have cash on hand, because for a period of time, cash will have some sort of a monetary value until people ignore it. And then maybe coins will also have monetary value to them. Gold and silver, obviously, will always have monetary value, but there's a lot of problems with holding mass amounts of gold. You know, I mean, if all you have is gold, Dave, how do you go and buy, you know, a bushel worth of groceries with gold and then expect to get all your money back? So, and the other part is bartering. Bartering can take shape in a lot of different ways. I think some of the best ways to barter, and I think you and I agree with this, having proper tools that other people can use, so kind of like a loan system. And then you can barter with livestock. You can barter with eggs. That's one of the things that we planned on doing very much. Like my neighbor right behind me, just today, his chickens produced 30 eggs. You know what I mean, and it's been probably close to the same thing every day for about a week. You know, that can feed quite a bit of people. And you can't eat gold. You can't eat cash. And you can't eat most of the things that you bought for prepping. But if you prepare in the, I guess you could say, the lifestyle of a small-time farmer, you could prepare much better. But stock markets-wise, look, I actually agree with Glenn Beck in a lot of ways. I would tell people to keep your money in the banks because it's FDIC insured. And if the whole thing collapses and it's not insured anymore, then what did you lose, right? Everybody lost at that point. The thing that I think we're going to see is a run on the banks. Did Clay talk about that?
No, we didn't get too much into that, but I do agree with you. There is, and by the way, I'm already getting notifications from my audience that withdrawals are being limited in places like Wells Fargo and Bank of America.
I've heard the same thing. What did they say the limits were?
That varied. One place was you can get $500. Another place you could get $2,000 in one bank back east. But generally, it's between $500 and $600. I heard one was $550. So, yeah, I mean, this is, you know, we're going to test it tomorrow. We're going to hit the bank, and we're going to see what we can take out. Now, let me give a warning here, Doug. People don't want to take out $9,000+. And if you take out money three times, they call it structuring. Now, if you take out $500, that won't be structuring. But if you take out $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, because see, $10,000, there's a report requirement. And so there's a law called structuring. And the bank will issue a CTR report on you, and the IRS will investigate. They could just seize your assets without warning, with no notification, if they think you're money laundering. So if you go take money out of the bank, it's got to be a one-time deal, not in proximity to other large withdrawals.
Now, I agree.
If you absolutely don't trust your bank, go to a rival bank like a credit union and write a check off your account from the bank you want to move money from because you don't trust it to a new bank that you may feel is more solvent.
You know, there's other ways too. Is people have the other electronic means like PayPal accounts, Cash App accounts, Vimeo?
Yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these other different types of accounts are places where you can stash cash here and there, right?
Right.
But, you know, the problem once again goes down to this. When you need it, how can you access it? When you need it, can the card be used? If they completely wipe the entire system and they say, you know, you have an approximate amount of, you know, weeks in order to convert all of your cash into the new digital currency, and after that it won't be used. You know, that would really suck for people who have, you know how much money would have to be transferred back and forth on servers. And you know what I see when I think about that? I see this. What a great opportunity and time for people who are professional hackers to be stealing money. What a great time for international terror groups or domestic terror groups or even your own federal government to crash the system, to cut the grid, you know, and then what happens to all your ones and zeros? And once again, that's the whole problem I think everybody has with this entire digital system, and that's my problem also with blockchain and all this other stuff, is that it's just a one and zero. You don't have a hard monetary asset. So, you know, if you're going to diversify, make sure you have something more than just a one and zero sitting in a bank account that you may not have access to anymore. You know, that's probably one of the things that I always worry about is, you know, this is the way people typically live, is they live paycheck to paycheck. For a long time, I lived paycheck to paycheck. Now, there's a point in time when, you know, we snowballed everything and we paid everything off. So now the only thing that we have is a house note and a car note. And, you know, thankfully that saved us. But you know what has spiked? The internet bill has spiked. The damn electric bill went from about $220 a month to $900 a month. You remember that last year? At two $900 months last year. You know, and then the price of dog food and chicken feed goes up. Diesel and gas goes up. And then, you know, cell phone bills went up. And we had to restructure that recently. So, you know, the problem with families right now, if you're middle income and below, like where I'm at, you know, if you are trying to save a nest egg for that just in case rainy day fund and everything else starts to increase, you know, your gas, your food, your propane, you know, your electric. We just filled up our propane tank, one of our propane tanks, 250 gallons worth, $601. Now that doesn't sound too bad, you know, but still that's $601 that we ain't got no more. And we got to wait again to build that back up. And for families who, you know, you kind of pinch pennies here and there like we do, this economy is very worrying to us. It's not worth this economy, I don't think, is worrying the people that are worth tens of millions of dollars, like your congressmen and your senators and many other politicians and those big elitists out there. They could care less because they're so diversified, probably in so many different currencies and different structures that, you know, most likely they will be somewhat insulated when the system goes down. But for you and I, Dave, and below, where are we insulated at? Here's a good thing to do. Now, this is a I guess you could say maybe a pet peeve for somebody, but if you invest in raw land, it can potentially give back benefits, but land's gone up. I mean, we were looking at land in parts of North Arkansas near the Ozarks, where 2 years ago that land was almost probably a quarter to a half worth what it was then. It's gone up 50%. Everything has gone up. So one of the things that I worry about, I guess, and I'll see your comment on this, is are we going to have another Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac coming? And if so, what do the banks do with everyone who has defaulted on their loans?
It depends how bad the damage is. I think if there's a total collapse of the dollar, I think Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are going to be the least of the government's worries. There'll be nowhere to recoup. But what they'll do is they'll invoke the Dodd-Frank law from 2010, which says that when you deposit your money in the bank in any form, retirement account, 401k, RA, or passbook or checking or money market, they own your money. You're an unsecured creditor. And they can keep your money. And there's been a court case that backed this illegal action up. And so what they'll do if they have problems, they're not going to worry about going to the trouble of mortgages. What they're going to do is they're going to go right for the bank accounts.
This is incredible. We have such an out of control government. They've given themselves legal authority at any moment in time that they want to come and take your guns. That's red flag laws. They've given themselves legal authority at any time that they want to increase everything that has an oil production, so that more or less what they almost got the workaround where they could ban gas and diesel cars. Then they are giving themselves legal rights to your children and to their sexuality and their mental health. And then they give themselves legal rights to your bank accounts. How much more can America sit back and allow to be stripped from you? Because we no longer do we reside in a constitutional-based republic. We do finally live in a democratic, I guess you could say, democratically elected second world country. I mean, we are in a banana republic at this point.
There you go.
This whole garbage with Trump, I don't know if you want to get on that one right now, but this whole garbage with Trump should wake up everyone. If you don't like the guy or not, we are no different than the czars of Russia.
Before we go there, I just want to say this. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to be really careful with your money and what you do, because they're going to look for excuses to call you a money launderer and take your money. And I just wanted to finish my thought. On the CTR, cash transaction reports required by the banks, they require a $10,000 report requirement to the IRS, then you have to validate what you're doing. And that's if you deposit $10,000 or take out $10,000. So people, you know, we're getting clever and we're going like $9,999. Well, they call that structuring if you do it 2 to 3 months in a row. And you need to be really, really careful, because they won't give you a warning. I've seen situations where they just come in and shut you down. The other thing I want to mention, too, to tie up loose ends, and then we'll go to the indictment, is the subject of solvency of the FDIC. They're lying when they say, and they said this in SVB bank crisis, we have 50% of the insurance you need to insure every bank account in America. That's a lie. And I'll tell you why it's a lie. In 2014, the G20 had a conference in Brisbane, Australia, and they decided on two things. And the one was, who would get reimbursed if the banks were to fail? And are all the countries of Europe going to invoke a version of Dodd-Frank where the banks own your money and they can just take it? So the answer to both were this. Number one, with regard to the Federal Reserve, they actually admitted to this. The Federal Reserve, through the FDIC, because the money would eventually ultimately come out of the Federal Reserve earmarked for the FDIC. The FDIC has 1.2% of the cash on hand to cover every account in America. Not 50, that's a lie. And this was what was published in 2014. And people need to ask, are we to believe that the government has increased coverage by 48.8%. I don't think so. That would be the better half of the Obama years, and now we're into the Biden years. I never heard Trump talk about it. The fact is, folks, is it's 1929 in disguise. When the banks go down, so will your money. And Doug, I would say this. You say, you know, put money into food. I agree. Get your essentials first. But what's left over, except for management account month to month, I recommend strongly that you still get gold and silver. And the reason I say that, because it's transference of wealth that at least you get to hold in abeyance until things perhaps will straighten out. Then you can bring those assets forward and cash them in. Because if you don't have a wealth transfer plan, when that bank goes down, you're done.
I want to bring up two very, very important parts. Well, three. One thing, don't forget, during the Great Depression, they made gold, silver illegal, right? The ability to hold precious metals, and the government came after all that. Two, if you decide to take out large amounts of cash, understand the laws of your state, and remember civil asset forfeiture. If you get caught traveling down the highways and byways with $10,000 or more,
correct,
law enforcement apparently has given themselves – And this has been an epidemic since it ever became something. And I've never agreed with this law. I don't think it's a law. I think it's highway robbery. But if you have $10,000 or more, they can detain you and they can take it and you don't have to get it back. You know, you can try and fight it in court. Most of the cases, people never get that money back. And that's absolute highway robbery. So if you do have that large amount of money, you know, just make sure, man, just be careful. There is a very, very sad story about a Marine who traveled around from California to Texas, and he had $38,000 on him, and he had all the bank stubs. He had it in like three or four different banks. He retired out of the Marine Corps. He's going back home to see his kid. You know, he's going to go buy everything that he needs with all this and help out his kid. And I think in New Mexico, law enforcement pulled him over for whatever minor infraction, saw a large amount of money after they searched his vehicle, and he never got it back. You know, I mean, it's a damn shame, but it happens every day, so be careful. And here's the other thing. Talk about a shame. If you or I were to default on our loans, if you or I were to lose billions of dollars of our customers' money, buddy, you and I would be out of a job. You and I would probably be sued all the way to the penitentiary.
I think, yeah, it'd be criminal. I agree.
But instead, the banks get bailed out and nobody gets in trouble.
Okay. Well, let's go to the indictment aspect of it. And I want to cover the gag order. Clay and I talked about that. I want to get your view on the gag order.
This is unprecedented. Like I said, we have become no worse or no better than the czars of Russia. And I am shocked by what is going on. And, you know, I talked about this earlier. At what point in time does America say, you've taken away my right to vote? You're coming after my kids, my money, my guns, my health, my religion? You know, now the one man that I think can solve many of our problems, you're not going to allow him to even run because he can't talk now? Oh, and by the way, you're going to trump up all these different charges, two different indictments from two different courts, D.C. and now New York? What are these kangaroo courts? And obviously, the Attorney General isn't going to do jack nor squat about any of these. But where is Ron DeSantis in calling this out?
Well, he has to some degree. He did say he would not extradite Trump, and that was when it was undecided what Trump was going to do.
But that's nothing.
It's window dressing. I agree with you.
We need a rallying cry between the freaking conservatives and even the rhino Republicans. It doesn't matter at this point in time. The Democrats can fly in all over the world to vote for whatever reprobate evil bill that they want, and all of them will vote unanimous. But Republicans, conservatives, we are so busy fighting each other. This is how we all get hanged separately, because we all infight amongst each other. Look, the best we got right now is Donald Trump. The second best we got right now, low energy and all this other crap that all the MAGA fanatics have been saying, is Ron DeSantis. Why are we pairing these two against each other like it's a dog fight? Hey, gents, work together. The fate of America is at stake. You know, not your legacy. You know, if you really claim to be public servants, then serve us and learn to unite with each other. Hell, the Democrats will unite with each other and create some sort of a gun bill for one of their own who went and killed six of our own. You know, if we do not pull our heads out of the sand, when we do lose this country, nobody should be really upset about it. Because as Republicans, as conservatives, we literally chose to fight with each other instead of trying to get something done. As far as the gag order, could you imagine if you put a gag order on Kamala Harris? Not only would that be amazing, but if you could actually say, hey, you're running for president, we're not going to allow you to talk because of whatever you did in the past. You know, Trump, he didn't prosecute Hillary, but the Democrats will fully prosecute him. So I say this. If all this falls through, if Trump escapes and he's not in jail, what will Trump do when he gets back to the presidency? Will it be scorched earth finally? Or will the Civil War happen before then?
It could, but I will say this. They will never let him run. These are prosecutions. They're going to draw him out. That's why there's 30-some-odd counts. They're going to draw
34.
Yeah, they're going to draw them out as long as they can so he can't campaign. And they're hoping DeSantis, who they can defeat because he won't have the funding, because Mitch McConnell and Rona McDaniel, the head of the RNC, will pull the money from him because he's America first. And so he won't win. And no, the Democrats will get their person back in through cheating and through rhinos that are in the Uniparty. So, Doug, this is where we're at right now. This is election interference to the hilt. And they don't want us to believe that there was election fraud in 2020 or 2022. But this is election interference of the highest degree.
Wouldn't you think that all the Antifa riots funded by almost all the people who were running for president from the Democratic side and who were expressly for it, mm-hmm. wouldn't that also be like an interference? Wouldn't that also be a seditious act, a treasonous act, a disruption of the common workflow of the federal government? But nothing. That's the thing about a lot of people who ride the fence, is if you haven't seen it clearly, then your eyes ain't open, okay? If we do not win 2024, what comes next in America is subjugation. These people will not stop until we are prisoners in our own country.
Well, just look at J6.
And we will look like China.
Look at J6. Yeah. That's what you'll see. But
another 1,000
investigation. Yeah, I heard that too. I don't think we're going to get that far, though. I don't think we're going to get to the election. When CBDC comes in and the restrictions become so severe, that's what I think the catalyst will be for armed insurrection. I don't know how widespread it'll be.
Mm-hmm. I've been saying it for years. 2024, if we don't have a civil war, I'm going to be shocked.
Yeah, so we don't get our door kicked in. We're not advocating for it. We're just observing from a 30,000-foot level. The reality is this, is that there comes a time when people will fight back. And when you threaten their existence, when you can take their bank account because you don't like their political views, and they and their families can't eat, they can't pay for their shelter, that's when they pick up the guns. That's why they want to get the guns as much as they can right now. I'm looking for a major false flag event to have mm-hmm. them try to justify taking guns.
Yep, absolutely. Well, you know, these people say that we're terrorists. You have your own government who labels its own citizens as terrorists. And then anything that you say, they say, oh, that's white supremacist. And because that's white supremacist, you must be a neo-Nazi. And then they say, look, there's a resurgence of the KKK and neo-Nazis, even though, come on, guys, Nazis and KKK, that's socialist and that's the leftist democratic thing. They have project so much that they cried wolf for so long that they finally got their own people in charge to write the laws to go along with the lies that they say. So now their laws protect their lies, and their lies have since become a truth because we allowed it.
We trusted the 250 year or so history of our country and thought, well, things will straighten out. It won't be that bad. It won't stay bad. And this is what we got. We're not going to get to the Restrict Act. I'll just say this. Restrict Act is not about TikTok, people. It's about taking you down. Now, I'm going to give you just one example. I talked to a lawyer today about this. A lot of people use VPN. So if your VPN relocates, which they all do, and it relocates, let's say, to Syria, and then it jumps to Brazil, then it jumps to China, 2 out of 3 instances there, you are cohorting with foreign interests hostile to the interest of the United States, and they'll use that basis to come after you. Doesn't matter what you say. Now, I guarantee you, They will save the enforcement. It'll be selective enforcement, and they will save it for the people that criticize them. And then they'll put you in prison for 20 years with a $1 million fine. And that is what they're doing. Doug, we ate up this time really quickly. Tell people how they can follow your good work.
The American Vindictus Show is on gsradio.net from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, also on YouTube and Rumble. And the Doug and Dave Intel Report is also on Rumble. And then thecommonsenseshow.com and thecommonsenseshow.tv. Please like, share, subscribe, and spread the word.
Yeah, good chance, and I should say this is a programming note, good chance, we haven't confirmed it yet, but Doug and I and the crew, we're going to be in Vegas the 25th and 26th of August, and we're going to be there to cover Clay Clark's great conference, Reawaken American Tour, and he has people like Mike Lindell, General Flynn, and so forth, and I'll tell you, it's terrific, and good chance we're going to be there covering it. They've invited us to come up and have a media booth, and very kind to them, and we'll probably end up taking them up on it. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we got a bit to do. We'll see you back here again tomorrow.